nice to be with you tonight, and we do look to God for his help as we would uplift Christ to everyone. That is really the sole purpose of our meeting tonight, so that the Lord Jesus might be uplifted and that he might be glorified, because we know that one day he will be fully glorified. But it would be good tonight if there's someone in the meeting and you're still not a believer, and we've got to watch that word believer, because we meet many folk who tell us that they are believers. But really, when we look in and when we listen, they're really not born again believers. But I was thinking when I was sitting here as our brother was opening the meeting, that it's possible for someone tonight to come into the meeting, not a believer, not saved, and it's possible for that person to get saved. Now, that's a good thing about the gospel. That's a good thing about the Lord Jesus, that he never takes a break. He never really sleeps. And no matter what time of the day we call upon him, he is there. And he's ready and he's willing to change our lives and to forgive us our sins and to make us new, to impart to us his great salvation. Now, what message other than the gospel could we say that about tonight? Certainly the hymn writer got it right when he said it's old, but it's ever new. Now, I want to read three portions of God's word with you, if you have a Bible. And the first one is well known. It's John chapter 3, and we'll read verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you would drop your eye down to verse number 36, please. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now turn over please to Hebrews, and this time chapter 2. Just read one verse. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The first part of that verse says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now to the end of your Bible, please. Revelation chapter 20. And we'll read one verse here. It's verse number 15, the last verse of this chapter. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we do look to God tonight to bless His word to us. I want, with the help of God, to bring before our minds the two whosoevers that we have read together. The whosoever of John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want to spend most of my time on that whosoever. But I want us also to think about the whosoever of Revelation 20 and verse 15. Two categories. The whosoever of John 3 and 16 and the whosoever of Revelation 20 and verse 15. Now I'm told, I haven't counted them, there are over 31,000 verses. I think to be precise, it's 31,173 verses in the Bible. And I suppose when we come to John 3 and 16, it is the sweetest. It's the most powerful gospel verse in all of our Bibles. This great verse has been used by God over the centuries in turning many people from darkness to light. It has been used by God to bring salvation and to lead people into salvation over centuries. This verse has been called by Martin Luther, that great gospel preacher, as the miniature gospel, 25 words. We want to look at it. We want to look at it quietly, and I don't really want to preach. I just want to talk. I want to just to discuss it in that fashion. And if there's someone in the meeting who doesn't understand it, what we're really looking to tonight is to, for God, by His Holy Spirit, to make this gospel, this verse alive to some heart in the meeting. As we said earlier, you could be here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know really the truth of John 3 and 16. You've heard it from a child and you could possibly quote it to me, but you haven't really experienced the God of John 3 and 16. You haven't been brought into the good of the person that God introduces to us in John 3 and 16, His beloved Son. And how good it would be tonight if someone was to fully grasp the truth of this tremendous verse. It says, for God. You know, God's almighty authority is written here. It is stamped here. For God. Now I'm sure there's no one in the hall tonight would really believe that there isn't a God. I think most of us would agree that there is a great God. And we see His authority here. It says, for God. For God. So this verse really is from God Himself. It's God's mind. It's God's being. It's really introducing God to us. Imagine that in a little meeting like this, that the God of eternity, the God who devised
the God who made, the God who brought it all about, the God who keeps us alive on this planet, that He's speaking to us. And here's what He says. But sometimes we can hardly believe it. When we think of the evil, and when we think of the sin, and we think of the low estate that our nation has gone into, and the world in all its evil, it's hard to understand that there is a God who loves this world. It says, "For God so loves the world." So I want to tell you tonight, and I want to say it indeed with feelings tonight, that if you're not saved, you might think, you know, well, how could God, how could an all-powerful, how could an almighty God ever love me? You see, I was there once myself. And many's the time I wondered, how could God love me? Oh, I could understand God loving maybe someone that was a bit religious. Maybe someone that went to church. Maybe someone, you know, that really walked on the clean side of the road, as it were. But I find it difficult, says someone tonight, to really grasp the truth that God could love me. Me? What I have done, what I have said, where I have been, the sins that I have committed. Well, I want to tell you, beloved, I want you to forget about all of that tonight. And I want you to focus on the truth of John 3:16. And here's what it says, "For God so loved the world." End of story. Tremendous. Tremendous truth that we have to proclaim to men and women and to boys and girls, that the God of heaven, with all His majesty and with all His power, that we can tell people tonight in Buchanan, in Galston, right across Scotland, right across the globe, that God still loves them in spite of what they've done, and in spite of their sin, in spite indeed of their lack of interest to spiritual things, in spite even sometimes of even blaspheme God. But God still loves the sinner. Now He hates their sin. I had to learn that at a very early age, that God loved me, but He hates my sin. He hates those things I do, but He loves my soul. And I want to say, with the authority of God Himself, that God loves you tonight. You're maybe young. And you would say to me, well, you know, I'm only 3, I'm only 4, I'm only 5, I'm only 6 or 10 or whatever it is. And does God know about me? I want to tell you that God knows every detail of your life. That God knows indeed everything about you. And here's what God is saying to you tonight, young one in the meeting. God is saying, I love you with all my heart. And we'll see later, we'll see really how God demonstrated that love. Send our friend tonight in the meeting. Listen to the words of Holy Scripture. Listen to God's words. For God so loved the world. But we cannot get it any plainer than that. That God loves us. And God has saw us in our plight. God has He has looked beyond time. Right from the foundation of the earth. And He knew what was going to happen. And God in eternity past, what did He do? He devised a means whereby he could show his love, whereby he could bring men and women back to himself because of sin. And he has demonstrated that love by this, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how God has proved to us and still proves to us tonight that he loves us. Why? Because he gave his only begotten Son. This text at the back of the hall, read it for yourself. The Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, that's the one that we want to tell you about tonight. That's the one that can change your life, your lifestyle, your desires, even your thoughts. You see, the Lord tonight, beloved, God's Son, he's so active, and he wants to come into our lives, and he wants to change our lives, and he wants to set us for heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Sometimes I link this verse up with Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're ever going to be in heaven, there's got to be a moment now. There's got to be a moment when you come under the spotlight of God, and when you realize with all your heart, just as I did, that I was a guilty, lost sinner. I wasn't afraid to take the sinner's place. Sometimes you speak to men and women and you offend them by telling them, you know, about sinners. But my, when God brings it home to us, when God does that work of conviction, you know, we're not alarmed, or we're not embarrassed when God tells us that we're guilty sinners. We accept it. We accept it. But I'm a guilty sinner. But that the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by God, God having loved us, Christ wanting to bring us back to God because of our sins, and he went to Calvary's cross, and he died that we might be saved. Now, we'll read that verse again, and then perhaps maybe we'll leave it. For God so loved the world. That takes in everyone. Billions of people in the planet tonight, and they're all under God's love. God loves us. That he gave. My, what a giving. He gave his only begotten Son. I've probably told the story before, and I'll tell it again. There was a dear woman and her husband, and the woman had went to Sunday school in her early days, and she obviously heard this verse. She obviously learnt this verse. She's not saved. She's now a little family. And her husband and her were sitting one night, and there was a little baby in the cot, just maybe a few days old. And the husband said to her, remarkable sort of a thing, but he was probably maybe just joking. He said, you couldn't give him away. You couldn't give him away, sure you couldn't. And you know, the woman thought a minute or two, and she broke out in tears. She ran out of the room. At that expression, you couldn't give him away. The husband went out after,
And she was sobbing her heart out. She says to him, she says, I couldn't get in the way for all the world. And that day a woman could see it. And her husband could see it. And she really, it was brought to her soul and to her heart, the truth of John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten son. My, what God has done for to bring peace to our souls, bring forgiveness to us, bring everlasting life to us, what God has done. He had only one son. And he gave him up. Not only that, he allowed men to abuse him and to insult him. You couldn't do that, neither could I. I couldn't watch a child of mine being abused or being insulted. But God did. Oh, his love, beloved. Oh, the love of God is vast. It's vast. It's unmeasurable. It's like a mighty circle. But God watched man do that to his son. They watched him crowning him. They crowned him with a cruel crown of thorns. Imagine. Imagine those long thorns as they made a crown and they pressed it into the head of Jesus. They spat in his face. They buffeted him. They falsely accused him. They told lies about him. They smote him on the cheek. They even plucked the hairs from his cheek. And finally, they crucified him. Why? Because of you tonight. Because of me. And this is God's tremendous love. This is God's great salvation, that whosoever believeth, that word believeth, we've got to watch that word. That really means that when I come to the point where I believe exactly what God says about me. Number one. And God says that he loves me. But God says that I have sin in my life, and if I don't get his forgiveness, I'm going to be lost. So we've got to believe what God says about us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we want to go further. We have got to believe that God is a holy God and God is a loving God. And we've got to believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he took my sins, every one of them. Those that I don't even remember committing. Those sins that I have forgotten about. Well, God has them on a record. And if we don't get saved, there's a day coming when all these sins will be brought to light. But God has took all of these sins. How could he do that? Do you answer that? How could God take my sins, take your sins, and lay them upon the head of Christ on the cross? The hymn writer got it right, didn't he? Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You see, God knew every sin that I had committed. And he knows every sin, dear friend in the meeting tonight, that you have committed. But to understand this, to believe this, that God laid all of my sin upon
the head of his spotless, sinless Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid to God my debt. I had a debt I could not pay. But Christ on the cross paid to God a debt. My debt. Your debt. And the moment that I, in faith, grasp that truth and step out in it and say, well, it's enough. I believe it. But all my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. Simple. But unless we come with a true heart, unless we come to God honest, not really coming, as it were, with half the story, but just telling God everything. Charlotte Elliot, another wee story I'll tell you, was a young woman who was brought up in the 1800s. And she went to a church in the south of England. And the minister there was a godly man, a saved man. And he thought that Charlotte Elliot was saved. But one day he was passing her home, and he noticed her getting into a carriage, and she was dressed for a ball dance. And he really was very surprised. This young woman that he thought was a believer, here she was. She was going out for an enjoyment, for a dance, for a ball. And he ran over to the door, and all he could say to her, Charlotte, are you saved? She slammed the door in his face. The carriage drove off. And the dear man was so vexed. And of course he went on his way and back home. And that dear woman went to the ball dance. And she couldn't really settle. She couldn't really dance. Because the question came before her almost every moment of the night. Charlotte, are you saved? She left the dance early. She went home to sleep, to have a sleepless night. The next morning, she gets up and she makes her way to the minister's home, and she met the minister on the road. The very first thing she said to him, she said, calling him by his name, she said, I apologize for last night, for how abrupt I was in slamming the door in your face. But she said, I want to ask you, how can I be saved? You know what the minister said? He said, Charlotte, come just as you are. Come just as you are. No tidying up. Just face it, dear friend. If you're not saved in the meeting tonight, but I'm a sinner going to hell. And I'll be there if I'm not saved. I'm sure to be there if I'm not saved. And to read John 3:16 for yourself again, for God. Lovely, isn't it? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here's the bet. Here's the whosoever of John 3 and 16. Whosoever. That's it, man. Whosoever. That's wide open. That's a boy. Or a wee girl. Or a man or a woman. Whosoever believeth, believes what God has said about them, believes that God sent His Son to the cross, believes that on the cross my sins were laid upon Him, believes that He died for me, believes that He took my place, believes that all my debt has been removed, and just step out on faith. It's a step of faith. A childlike faith tonight. God has said it. I believe it. And that settles the question. I'm saved. Then we read a verse. Thinking about God's great salvation in John chapter 3 and 16. We read a verse, didn't we? The great question. Hebrews chapter 2 and 3. Dear soul, keep in mind God's great salvation. Keep in mind what God has done. Keep in mind indeed the sufferings of Calvary. And then it says, the question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect it? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, I don't think there's an answer to this question. Because I want to tell you, beloved, that there is no escape. To neglect is to be careless. To neglect is to not really bother. To neglect is just to go on in our sins. That's neglect. If you have something wrong with you, a medical problem, you'll want to see Stuart here. You'll want to see your doctor. If you neglect that, you know the consequence. That could lead to your death. I want to tell you that's bad. Oh, that's bad. But look, it's far, far worse to neglect your soul. How shall we escape if we neglect so great God's salvation? Every time we say no to God, we're just really saying to Him, look, keep it. I don't want it. We're neglecting it. I trust that there's no one tonight here will neglect such a great salvation. And last of all, we read Revelation 20 and 15. Here's the other whosoever. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Dear souls, I'm not able to speak fully on this verse. Other than this, this brings before us the great white throne. This brings before us the judgment day. And we stand alone before God. The books are open. Another book is opened, which is the book of life. That says, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
That is body, soul, and spirit. That's the whosoever of John of Revelation 20 and 15. It's not a matter when we stand there where we stand in silence. We're not asked a question. It's not a matter if your name, you know, was written in the book of Mason. Not a matter if your name was written in a church register. Not a matter how many letters you have after your name. Doesn't really matter how clever you are. There's only one. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast. Remember this. Body, soul, and spirit into the lake of fire. That's almost unbearable to think of, but that's the truth of it. I didn't come here to tickle anyone's ear. I came here to tell you about God's matchless love. I came here to tell you about the Lord Jesus and His great salvation. But to neglect it is to stand before Him with all your faculties, with all your feelings, and to hear from His lips those fatal words to be cast into the lake of fire. I'll close with this lovely verse again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that could be you tonight, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there's two sides to the gospel. It's God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. But to neglect that, to refuse that, there's God's wrath, there's God's judgment, there's God's fury, and there's hell and the lake of fire. Our Father, we bow in Thy presence to thank Thee, O God, for the company tonight. Lord, Thou knowest, our Father, just every need. Thou knowest every heart. And we ask Thee in the stillness of these moments, O God, to do a work that we can't do, that no man can do. We pray, our Father, if there be any that's not saved, O God. Oh God, we thank You. You've done so much for us. You've sent the Lord Jesus to die for us. But oh God, we pray to make it good to them. We pray, our Father, to speak through Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that salvation might be, our Father, their portion tonight. We commend ourselves to Thee, thanking Thee for everyone that's saved. Thanking Thee, our Father, that will never stand at the great white throne. Thanking Thee, our Father, indeed, that we're going to see the man who died on Calvary's cross. And we're going to be like Him. And we're going to be with Him for all eternity. But we do pray most sincerely tonight, O God, if there be one in the meeting that's not saved, O God, save them tonight. That's our prayer, Lord. And we bring it to Thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I will sing maybe one verse or two of a hymn together. That dear lady, Charlotte Elliott, that got saved on the side of the road that day. Later, she took her pen And she wrote these words, 292. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. We're singing, just keeping our seats, verses 1 and verse 3. Verses 1 and verse 3 of 292, and thank you again for your attention. Appreciate that. There was no noise whatsoever. And we do trust and we do pray that God may bless. Verses 1 and verses 3, keeping our seats at 292.